We generally talk about ignorance as being the lack of knowledge. You know, doesn't have any particular attributes or anything like that.
Many, but
doesn't have a big shape.
There are a few people who have been telling that absence of knowledge is ignorance.
Yeah.
So it will create a lot of problems. Because ignorance creates. Absence cannot create.
Yeah.
See, ignorance of a vastu, an object. You know object is. But what is that object, you don't know. Ignorance is only up to that. Then that, what is that object when you don't see clearly? So you see something else in its place. That is caused by what? That ignorance. That what you have ignorance that causes, projects that.
No, but what about a normal, you've never seen a sock, you're a baby. And you're born. Just simple lack of knowledge.
Huh?
Simple.
Yeah. No. A normal, not for knowing Brahman, just for a regular object.
Yeah.
You're a baby, you grow up, you've never gone to India, so you don't know what India is.
Yeah.
You've
yeah.
heard of it, or you know, any object.
Yeah.
It's just a lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
Simple. And that's what we call ignorance normally.
Yeah.
Is that...
That's correct. That's okay. That's the same thing what I was talking.
Oh, okay.
Natural, yeah. So, until you know ignorance is...
Yeah.
Then what? Until you know ignorance is... It is absence of knowledge, it is true. But... Also, you have to say, that can be a simple expression, whether this ignorance is opposed to knowledge. That is the question. If it is opposed to knowledge, ignorance goes. So ignorance goes means till then it was there. That is why it could create a distorted version. Error. So if it is not there, absence cannot create. A technical little.
Yeah.
Absence cannot create anything. Because it has got an existence until it goes, like anything else. So it can cause distortion. Therefore, that can be negated in the wake of knowledge, that gets negated in the wake of knowledge, which is its opposite. Absence doesn't require any nivritti. And in every knowledge, ajnana nivritti is there. And another thing, there is no new knowledge. Therefore, there is no absence of knowledge. One consciousness is all knowledge. Therefore, there is no absence of knowledge. Because there is no new knowledge. And there is only scraping of ignorance. So, ignorance is avarana and denying the knowledge, covering the knowledge. So, it can be removed by vritti. Buddhi.
Isn't that changing? I feel like that's changing standpoints, though. All knowledge is the whole.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like when you're talking about individual, ignorance is a different commodity.
Yeah.
You know, because the individual doesn't
have all knowledge.
Yeah, and
that means inhibited. The individual.
So, yeah.
Is inhibited. Because there is individuality. But it can be, so this can be this can be owned freely, or this can give rise to an identity, an individual identity, an absolute, real identity. That's due to ajnana. Kala avarana, some veil is there. This veil, reality of the veil is further established in psychology and also in our dream, in all our mistakes. Very real. This avarana is very real. In all delusions and all that, you make your own reality.
Swamiji, to just pursue that a little bit, when we say that the entire creation is Ishwara's manifest knowledge, this is what I was trying to get to yesterday. We have three words that Swamiji is using: manifest knowledge, word, and meaning. So when you use word and meaning instead of subject, object, or Swamiji doesn't really use the word object anymore. He uses the word meaning.
Right? You can use the word object.
No, but there's a subtle difference.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wanted Swamiji to talk on that.
The thought is not an object.
Right.
And because we try to see the object. Common language is thought is object. But when you look into the thought, all that is there is clay. And the pot, you cannot say, is sitting upon the clay. It's not of the clay, it's not in the clay. Therefore, pot is a kind of a mithya attribute. It's a mithya attribute, superimposed attribute. And that's not intrinsic to clay. And it cannot be put elsewhere too. It's not elsewhere. It only belongs to pot, in a way. So how will you say it's an object? So from the common understanding, you have to move away to see what it is. Once I say object, then it becomes a substantive. Then object, an attribute and all that. So, becomes a solid substantive, and there is nothing solid about it. So when there is nothing tangible, weight belongs to clay, the weight of pot belongs to clay, the strength of pot is a clay strength. You touch the pot, you touch clay. So there is no pot. But at the same time, you can't dismiss it. It holds water. And therefore, you have to accept that there is pot, the word and nama rupa. Vacharambanam vikaro namadheyam. Vacharambanam namadheyam. Nama matram ityartha. Deya, that suffix added to nama, emphasizes the same meaning. Swarthe dheya pratyaya. So the word meaning is emphasized. That means only. Nama matram. Only the name. That's very definite. Only name. Which has a meaning, and that is a form. Which includes function too. Because function itself is another name. If you analyze that.
But when we use word and meaning, we're only talking about manifest knowledge, really.
Yeah, that's
we're only talking on every level, even the level of the individual. So our whole experience is just one of knowledge. The whole experience is only knowledge.
Yeah.
So that's where this understanding the avidya.
That's what is astounding. You say a wall, there is no wall. There is no wall. A cement is not wall. Brick is not wall. Wood is not wall. There is a wall. It obstructs you. You can't cross. That is vyavahara. Really no wall. If you go to the level of particles, there is no wall. But even that is one way of looking, particle and all that. That it is explained, the micro and macro and all that. But what we talk is a little different. We say the wall is a word for which there is a meaning. It's not a meaningless word. So that meaning, then if you try to see what makes this wall, this meaning attribute, wallness belongs to what? You should ask like that. So wall is an attribute. So an attribute means there must be a locus, a substantive. The substantive cannot be a wall. The wallness has got to be of something else. So already we have wondered, wallness is only an attribute, mithya attribute. Then what is satya? Then you have to say, is a dry wall, another word, another attribute, dry wall. So then afterwards you got wood. Wood is not wall. The pulp is not wall. Molecules are not wall. Atom is not wall. Particle is not wall. Keep going. Therefore, the wallness belongs to non-wall. And the non-wall you cannot stop anywhere. There is only one non-wall which is self-existent. And the self-existent, self-revealing. Self-existent has to reveal itself. Otherwise it cannot be self-existent. Because existence has to be revealed. Therefore, self-revealing alone can be self-existent. Every other existence has to be revealed. It's the object of your knowledge. Then only you can say, yes, is not. Therefore, so that non-wall is nirgunam brahman. So non-wall, non-dry wall, non-wood, means woodness belongs to non-wood. Go. So the whole thing is Brahman. It's amazing.
So when you say wallness, it has to resolve into some, what Swamiji is saying is that like wallness or chairness or objectness of some sort, that ness means it has to resolve into a substantive and you can't find the substantive. The only substantive is from
that. Yeah.
But
see, because once you say, you analyze what is this. This approximate body gives this trick. Yeah. I use this all the time, but it's nice to find out it has got that. First you have to look for the table. Where is this table? Look for whatever that is, object around you. So this table is a very good thing. So look for the table. And wherever you look, there is no table. There is only wood. And even if there are a few other things, nail is there or something, that's also not table. So, this table is an attribute. First you arrive at the attribute. This is just an attribute because there is no substantive. Once you say table is an attribute, it is tableness. Table cannot be an attribute unless it is tableness. It is not a substantive. Therefore, it has got to be abstract quality. And therefore, tableness. Once it is tableness, then you have to find a substantive. Tableness has to qualify a substantive, being an attribute. And the substantive cannot be another table. You will get into regression and all kinds of problems. And so the tableness is an attribute of a non-table. So non-table means what? What is non-table? Anything other than table is non-table. Chair is non-table, wood is non-table, steel is non-table, it's all non-table. But if you look at every one of them, again it is an attribute of non-something, that something. And therefore, attribute-free, self-existent vastu should be there as the substantive for this table. So this is the attribute of Brahman. Idam sarvam kalu brahmeva. Sarvam kalvidam brahma. That is the meaning for that neha nanasti kanchana.
If Swamiji uses a different type of language, like if I were to say, what is the table made of? Like we can say tableness has to be an attribute of non-table. But I would arrive at the same, would I arrive in the same place if I asked, well, what is the table made of? Mm. Then I'm looking for the substance of the table.
Okay.
And so then I say, well, the table is made of wood. But that's it's a different.
No,
I just want to know the relationship between those two.
That will be confusion. Because you can get there by using that kind of expression also, you can get there. But we have to see in communication what happens there, what happens to the listener's mind. So this is what we have been doing anyway. So the table is made of wood. So wood all put together in a certain way, it's a table. And we think that it's a table is a substantive. Another substantive, created. That's the orientation. Then we say wooden table. So wood becomes an adjective to table. Wooden table. That's the orientation. We keep on counting tables. And that is called dvaita. That is duality. Because we don't count what is. We count what appears. And the substantive you count, two tables, three tables, four tables. And the dining table and the coffee table, tea table, teapot. Whatever. So in the language of the Shruti, This is purely karana. Tad ananyatvam ஆரம்பன சப்தாதிபியா பிரம்மசூத்ர தது அனன்யத்துவம் ஆரம்பன சப்தாதிபியா அனன்யத்துவம் மீன்ஸ் நான் செப்பரேட் ஃப்ரம் த காஸ் சோ தி ஆப்ஜெக்ட் இஸ் நான் செப்பரேட் ஃப்ரம் த காஸ் இன் ஃபேக்ட் இட் இஸ் த காஸ் பட் ஸ்டில் தெர் இஸ் அ வேர்ட் வாச்சாரம்பணம் ஆரம்பண சப்தாதிபியா காரண அனன்யத்துவம் காரியஸ்ய தட் மீன்ஸ் காரியம் இஸ் காரணம் இஃபெக்ட் இஸ் காஸ் ஆரம்பண சப்தாதிபியா வாச்சாரம்பணம் விகாரோ நாமதே ஃப்ரம் ஆல் தீஸ் வேர்ட்ஸ் வி கம் டு அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் வாட் இஸ் தேர் இஸ் ஓன்லி அ வேர்ட் அண்ட் மீனிங் name and form name and form I say word and meaning so to make it more telling name and form means you may think that there is name and form because one of my senior disciples was giving a talk and I listened to him sometime I happened to be there and I just listen for 5 minutes. So he was talking about name and form. Form is created, he was telling something. Therefore I thought, so some, this name and form is not a great translation for vikara. So I thought I should change. So I learned from my students, you know, so what I should say, what I should not say. Because it's communication. You keep on changing so that there is nothing taken for granted. Because the words become mechanical and then you simply say something without meaning anything.
Swamiji, could you contrast the use of these two, I guess I'll call them prakriyas, the tableness, non-table, and then when Swamiji goes in terms of shirt, fabric, yarn. Yeah. Both that also ends up in the vastu. But what are the subtle differences between these using these two prakriyas? What is the difference there, Swamiji?
Right. The problem is that is fine. That is only to point out everything is non. Fabric also is an attribute. Fabricness is attribute of a non-fabric, which is yarn. And when you hear the word yarn, you don't include fabric in it. Your understanding doesn't include. This is Shankara. See, Shankara. in that second chapter Gita, he talks about that. Nasato vidyate bhavaha. There in that verse, he talks, you cannot imagine an object without the substance. That's what he says. You can't imagine an object without a substance. And the substance is the object. But you think that this object is substance. Object, there's no substance. It's an attribute. And therefore, in order to point out, it is a non-fabric, I say yarn. Non-yarn is fiber. So this parampara is used only to prove. The whole thing is, everyone is an attribute of non. Therefore fabric is not the karana, the cause for shirt. Shirt, the cause for the shirt is not, I mean the substantive for the shirt is not fabric. Because that also ness, that also is an attribute of non. And everything is an attribute of non. None of that. And therefore, so there is only one substantive which is non-attribute.
But within Maya, that's an infinite regress, right? Within Maya, Swamiji, it's an infinite regress in the sense that everything, every nama-rupa or every attribute is a the ness of the non. So that's infinite regress. What is
you don't bring in Maya here.
No, no, I know, but I bring
Maya is the nama-rupa. Maya is parinama.
I meant everything within duality.
Yeah.
That logic is an infinite regress. There's no end to it.
Yeah.
So how do you make the jump
That infinite regression only proves the point that that kind of inquiry is wrong. It's illogical to inquire like that. Because you are trying to find out something. But this logic gives you that you will go into a regression if you continue with that kind of inquiry. That's not rational.
Right.
So what is rational is, find out with, once you say non, a given thing is an attribute of the non that something. You call it table. It's a non-table. Tableness is the attribute. We have to place it in a non-table. The non-table is Brahman. The non-table cannot be anything else except non-everything. So the infinite regression points out the non-everything. Non-everything is Nirgunam Brahman. So the Nirguna Brahma attribute free vastu that is self-revealing. So then the next question will be, how will you know the attribute free?
Yeah.
I need not know. What should I know? If it is self-revealing, I don't need to know. Because that infinitive to know implies subject-object. But here there is no subject-object. Jnadhatu janati, kaha janati, kim janati. So you have got subject, object, all the karakas. You don't need karakas here. So it's self-revealing. Therefore, what is self-revealing is always free from attributes.
Why? Why is what is self-revealing?
Because if all attributes are mithya to satyam. Therefore satyam is not. Nirgunam Brahma all the way. Therefore sarvam Brahma.
That self-revealing, Swamiji, sometimes I think that can be a point of confusion. What it really means, when you say that Brahman is self-revealing, it can still be a point of confusion.
Why?
Because the knower-known relationship is so strong that the self-revealing is still often considered to be something that requires the upadhi in order for it to be known. And so that needs to be made clear.
We are talking with upadhi only. And therefore, we generally know things with a subject-object relationship. And that itself reveals there is something that doesn't require to be revealed. So that we can know things. And so that only establishes Vibhuti, when we say Brahman is self-revealing, we mean Atma, Brahman as Atma, self-revealing. Atma is Brahman. Brahman is self-revealing means Atma is self-revealing. What it is already we have negated. Even if you don't negate, I am is self-revealing. Conclusions are negated. So if you negate properly all the conclusions, then the word will work. Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam. All these words will work. So, one confusion I know what it is, and that is, when we are talking about Pramana, Shastra is a Pramana. This is a little more Shastric. So Shastra is a Pramana, it's a means of knowledge. So once you say means of knowledge, then they will think what is revealed by that is the object of revelation. Therefore Shastra takes care to avoid that, you know. So then they will use paradoxes. Like it has to be known, but it is not an apramaya, it is not available for mind, but it has to be known. The knower of Brahman, look at this particular mantra. Yat uvacho nivartante apraapya manasasaha anandam brahmano vidvan na bibheti kutashyaneti yataha ismat vachaha nivartante. All words come back from what? And along with the mind also tried to objectify, it cannot objectify, along with the mind and the words come back. So, these are the things that we have. The mind cannot objectify. That means it's not an inferential conclusion, much less perception. Because, so, if you don't directly perceive through the senses, then also mind is involved. And then you can infer, then also mind is involved. In direct perception, mind is involved. In inference, mind is involved. Reasoning. Both have been dismissed now, then words are the pramana. So words can give rise to knowledge. That also is included now. Vacho, nivartante, aprapya manasasaha. All the means of knowledge gone. And you have to know. Next line. Anandam brahmano vidvan. Brahmanaha anandam vidvan. Vidvan. The one who knows Brahman as Ananda or Brahmanaha Ananda, which has no shashti there. Brahman that is Ananda, the one who knows, has no reason to have any fear. Nabi Bedi Kutashaneti. There is no second thing to fear. He is free from fear. So, the word is, all the means of knowledge gone, but there is a vidwan. Vidwan means previously a vidwan. There is no vidwan unless he was a vidwan before. He did not know before, now he is vidwan. Brahmavit apnodiparam. Therefore, avidwan sanne, vidwan bhavishyati. Previously, avidwan did not know, now he knows. That vidwan has no reason to fear. So that means knowledge takes place. So what is that knowledge? How does it take place? By negation and assertions. Assertion through lakshya, implied meaning. And that implied meaning is possible because I am self-revealing. Otherwise, it's not possible. In that sense, we use the word self-revealing, Brahman.
Swamiji?
All technical, so enough.
This is technical too, so in that they say, in the first one they say kadachanati, and then they say kutasjanati. In that particular Taittiriya Upanishad, does it matter? Some significance to that.
You highlight, yeah.
Kadaschadeti
is in the first section. When they first make
Kadaschadeti, Swamiji. She's asking the difference between Kadaschadeti and Kutaschana. Kadaschana and Kutaschana.
Because yeah. The first time it's Kadaschadeti, then the second time it's Kutaschadeti.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah, is there.
Yeah.
Like.
Yato vacho nivartante apraapya manasasah anandam brahmano vidvan na vivedi kadachaneti. That is manomaya kosha. Upasana. There again vishti samishti. Vishti, that is the upasana of samishti. Ishvara, that is prayer, meditation. Kadachana means, so he doesn't have, because he goes to loka. There is no fear of death. Why? Because mrityu doesn't go. You go to mrityu. There is no fear of death, because there is no aging. So in the loka, there is no aging. Therefore, there is no fear of death. Very nice. But you end up in his hands. He doesn't bother. He says, you will come back. I won't, should I bother? Mrityu doesn't go there. Therefore, there is no fear of death and aging and all that. Upasana phalam. But here, knowledge, jnana phalam. Kadach kutashana means from nothing else you have fear. Kutashana. There is no other thing. So because second thing is not there. And there because second thing doesn't seem to affect you for the time being. Second thing is time. The time doesn't seem to affect you for the time being. Kadachana.
Swamiji, I have a question about objects. I have a little confusion about this. Is it that objects are known because they themselves are Brahman, and Brahman is self-existent and self-revealing, so that's why we know the objects? Is that true?
Yes.
Is that too confusing?
Let's see.
An object, yeah. Every object is revealed.
Yeah.
Whereas Brahman is not an object because it is self-revealing.
Yes. But the objects are revealed because they are Brahman, isn't it? Or is it not?
No. That they are Brahman, correct, but they can't reveal themselves unless they have all are Brahman. But that doesn't mean that I know. Mm-hmm. I know each object. It's only generally you can say all is Brahman. Known or unknown. You put the two words. Viditam or viditam, known or unknown is Brahman. But each one of them comes to be known through your senses. And that senses have to reveal the object. So that is because of the individual. Has the faculty of knowing. The individual has the faculty of knowing, and ignorance is always there. The veil is always there and veil has to go. So faculty is there for which. So you have to know individually. Object. No, you see, Brahman is self-revealing. Self-revealing means not outside object is revealing. Self-revealing means only self is self-revealing. And self is Brahman. And self is everything also. And everything if he has got to reveal itself to me, for which I have eyes and ears and things, depending upon what it is. So, appropriate means of revealing.
But when we say the object is, that isness is satyam.
That is Brahman. That's why asti, if you say bhati, that is Brahman, asti bhati. If you say bhati asti, you say it shines, means it is an object of my knowledge. Bhati. Sanskrit is wonderful. Bhati is, it's an object shining in my consciousness. Bhati. So then it is asti. Because bhati it is asti. Then if it is asti, it is bhati. Therefore, Brahman asti bhati. And therefore, given an object is, and bhati, it comes to be an object of knowledge, that is Brahman. Asti bhati, sachit. Then whatever that is, you have to use your eyes, ears, means of.
But the bhati, the shining, somehow I thought the shining also existed in the object itself, that because the object shines, somehow it's known.
Now, that shine, that is consciousness. And that doesn't reveal what it is. So only, see, when you look out, it's very simple. When you look out and you see an object, in this object there are these four things are there. The object is. Once you say is, shines, bhati, asti bhati. For that you don't require anything. It is self. It is the asti of self, bhati of self. Then what it is? Avarana. That has to go. Then you say it's a tree. There is an object, that avarana gone. Eyes tell you that it is a tree. So there is an object, avarana goes. Then it is a tree, avarana goes. Avarana means veil, veil goes. Then it is a oak tree, goes, avarana goes. It must be a 100-year-old tree, further avarana goes, guess what? So it's not a young tree, it's an old tree. So these are all me arrived at by means of knowing. Because I am not sarvajna in this form, I am not all knowing. So avarana has to go. But astivadi is Brahman. There's a verse also. Astibadi priyam rupam namachet amshapanchakam adhritayam adhyatrayam brahma rupam jagadrupam tatodvayam. Astibadi priyam, they include ananda also. In every object there is astibadi priyam. Is, shines, and priyam, it is ananda. It is pleasing. Is ananda. Satchidananda. Plus Namarupa. First three is Brahman and the other two are Jagat. Namarupa. out of the one one Brahman. A very beautiful.
Swamiji, when we say asti, bhati, priyam, asti and bhati are always immediately evident. This priyam aspect, as it becomes a question, how can this be priyam?
Because
the mind is not focused enough to see that.
Because the mistake is only with reference to limitation. I am limitless is not known. Because you are not, so am I a conscious being or not? I have no trouble. Do I exist or not? No trouble. You know. Do I exist or not? No trouble. I am. So I am, and you say I am conscious and I exist. So in that there is no confusion. The confusion is, I am a discrete person confined to this body about which I have too many complaints. Therefore I become small, insignificant, a smarting individual, ninja. And so, the smallness comes out. So the problem is only with the limitation. I am limited being, I don't like it. So that means I want to be free from limitation. That means I have to be the limitless, the whole. That is what Ananda reveals. And therefore, that doesn't seem to be obvious. We also don't use it. In teaching we will use only Sachit. Then keep that at the appropriate, to bring it at the appropriate time, because that will confuse, yeah. And today also, now also I said Sachit plus Namarupa, first. Then later I brought in Sachit Ananda and Namarupa. Method. It's all method, yeah.
Also, Swamiji, Ananda has in a sense been misdefined as bliss.
That was later. That is mystifying later. Because people know they seek Ananda, some pleasure. Even they don't know, but they find themselves comfortable being happy. And therefore they are all after happiness. And sometimes they have it and sometimes they don't have it. There are certain avenues. So this happiness is still, it's an eluding thing. It's not easily available. The same object doesn't make you happy. You become monotonous. And therefore you have to go for something else. People get tired. And then there are other issues also we have to deal with ourselves. Therefore, I become the project, Atma project. Therefore, we are all searching for freedom from this Atma project. How to manage myself? Yesterday there was a question. A retired man says, how to handle disappointments? A retired person, we are a retired couple. How to handle disappointments? And so, because of the whole life is handling, self-handling. And then spiritual people come and tell you, you'll have Atma bliss. Then it gets mystified.
That's what I was referring to, Swamiji. It's a superlative. And when we think of our own personal experience, you can go from sorrow to neutral to happy, happier, happiest bliss. And so then you think that Atma is bliss. It means it's a superlative to be a state of experience, superlative state of experience to be achieved.
Yeah, that's where the mystique comes. That's why you remove that kind of a thing by making Atma communicable. If you say bliss, there is no communication. Everybody's bliss is going to be different. I can't communicate. Suppose I have Atma bliss. How will I communicate to anybody? It's not communicable. Without teaching, there is nothing. That's why these fellows are bluffing. People are just talking about bliss and all that. They are bluffing. Themselves don't know and they are confusing others. But if you say it's limitless, ananta, it's communicable. Because it is self. Because you remove all possible limitations. Desha limitation, kala limitation, object limitation, over. There are no other limitations. Only three forms of limitation. Space, time, object. All the three-four limitations you negate. It's ananta. Then we can work on it. But ananda, the word, is used because that seems to be the purushartha for everybody. Through artha and kama and dharma, you seek ananda. They say you need not seek ananda, see ananda is you. So, they have to use that. Lakshana. All words about Brahman are Lakshana. Blindly you can say. Any word, even Satyam. It is Lakshana. Jnanam is Lakshana. All Lakshana. Lakshana means you have to arrive at the meaning. It's not that as you hear the word and you get it. You have to arrive at the meaning. And that implies a lot of negation. This is what I said, Dhatvartha you retain. Yesterday I said, you retain the meaning of ease. Asidhatu. Satyam. Asidhatu. Retain the meaning. Ease. Then our own meanings are there. Ease means not yet gone. We knock off all that. Knowledge means jnanam. Jnadhatu. And then, knowledge means, is it the knowledge of a discrete object. Vritti jnanam. So we knock off that. Particular knowledge. Knower is jnanam. Knowledge also is jnanam. Object of knowledge also is jnanam. We knock off all that. So, jnā, dhātvartha. So that becomes knowledge of knowledge. It will become consciousness. Yeah.
Is that when you said knowledge is consciousness, consciousness is knowledge?
Yeah, knowledge.
That's
yeah.
What you're making
that. Okay.